Praise God. Luke chapter 1, verse 38. Praise the Lord. And then Luke chapter 2, verse 39 is where we'll begin. Praise God, everybody that's able to stand. We're thankful again for everybody that's here tonight. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Luke 1, 38. Everybody got it? Say amen.
Amen.
And Mary said, "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word." And the angel departed from her. Luke chapter 2, beginning at verse 38. "And she coming in that instant gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. And when they had performed..." That's not right, is it?
Yeah.
39. "And when they had performed," "all things according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee to their own city Nazareth. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when they had fulfilled the days as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother knew not of it. But they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinsfolk and acquaintance. And when they had found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. And it came to pass that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, 'Son, why hast thou dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing.' And he said unto them, 'How is it that you sought me? Wist you not that I must be about my father's business?'" Amen. Praise God. I don't know if anybody has a shofar tonight. We do. Amen. Going to blast the shofar. We want you to give the Lord praise for his word tonight. Amen. Come on. Let's bless him. Hallelujah. 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 Come on. Give the Lord praise tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. You may be seated tonight. Amen. If the Lord will allow me, I just want to minister tonight on this song, "Be It Unto Me." Amen. Be it unto me. Look at your neighbor, amen, if you have one, and say, "Be it unto me." Amen. Be it unto me. Praise God. We often see people's lives, amen, that we look up to and we want to be like them, right? I'm sure that there's been at least one person in your life, amen, that, excuse me, in your lifetime that you have Saul looked up to them, amen, and even wanted to be like them, amen. But I want us to look, amen, tonight at Mary's life. Mary's life was interesting because she lived a life that could not be duplicated. Mary lived a life that could not, amen, be duplicated. Not sure, has anyone ever aspired to live up to her example? I wonder if anyone has ever aspired to live up to what Mary did. Amen. Many want to be like David. Many have aspired to be like Paul, maybe like Abraham, maybe like Joshua. Praise God. But I'm not sure that anybody, amen, has really said, "I want to be just like Mary." See, she was entrusted with something that it was not a once in a lifetime thing, but it was something once in time. Amen. It wasn't a once in a lifetime thing that maybe you would be blessed if you were allowed to participate in it, but it was something that was, amen, once in time. No other person before Mary had ever, ever, ever conceived of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And was brought forth a child from that conception, and no one ever since that time, amen, has done the same. Praise the Lord. So she was entrusted with something, amen, and it was a once in time thing. No one would ever get or relate to it because no one had ever experienced it before Mary. So nobody could say, well, I know how that is because I've been there. How many times have you went through something and then you meet somebody and they begin to share with you what they're going through, and it's the same thing that you've experienced, and you can say, well, I can relate to that because I've been there. Nobody could say to Mary, Mary, I know how you feel because I too have conceived of the Holy Spirit. Nobody could do that. I need you to just stay with me for a minute tonight. See, it was a promise that could not be duplicated. A promise that she would bring forth a son. A promise that she would bring forth a man, one who would be called Emmanuel. God with us. He would be the Savior of the world. He would be, amen, that promised Messiah. Amen. So it was a promise that could not be duplicated. Amen. What she conceived in her womb was a promise that God chose to give her. Amen. I believe he chose her based on her faith. I believe he chose her based on her commitment, based on her worship, based on her morality, amen, based on her servitude, amen. God chose Mary based on several different things, but here's the key, she didn't ask for it, but God chose to give that promise to her. See, her promise was one, amen, that people can't understand, and amen, they begin to question whether it was legitimate, intended. Amen. They begin to question whether or not, amen, that her promise was legitimate. Amen. I watched a little bit of a new movie that came out just this season. Amen. About Mary. Its context is a lot like The Passion of Christ. Amen. And it got me thinking, but I didn't get to watch it all through because I fell asleep, if I'm honest. Amen. It was a Saturday night. I get up early on Sunday morning. Amen. But anyhow, it got me to thinking. Amen. Because it was realistic. Amen. And they put in details and circumstances that one can only speculate may have happened. But there was a couple of scenes, amen, where Mary had already conceived, amen, and she knew because the angel came and told her that she was going to conceive, amen, and we know that this took place. And there was a couple of scenes where she was afraid to tell anybody, right, because no one would believe what she said. Why? Because no one had ever heard of any such thing like that. Who in their right mind would say that the Holy Spirit of God, amen, came down and overshadowed her, and now she conceived a child? When everyone knew there's only one way, amen, to conceive a child. But there was a scene where she told her father, and her father rejected her because, amen, he felt like, again, it was hard for him to believe that this was a real thing. And so if she was with child, that meant that she would have had to have broken her vow. That meant that she would have to have went outside of her betrothal, and that she would have, amen, broken that moral law that she so, amen, ineptly followed. Praise God. And that rejection, amen. And so people couldn't understand it, and they would question whether it was legitimate, and they would say, oh, you say God did it? There's no way that God did that. There's no way that that happened to you. Amen. There must be some sin somewhere. You know how we think. If someone come to you today and say they had never been with a man but they were pregnant, you would be like, mm-hmm. Right? So they say, oh, really? God did it? Well, there's no way. Amen. There must be some sin somewhere. See, here's the thing. They could not relate to that level of promise. Are you with me? I'm trying to talk to somebody in this season. They could not relate to that level of promise. So it was easier to just accuse her of sinning. It was easier to just accuse her of lying than it was to believe in such a level of supernatural blessing. I need you to stay with me tonight. Amen. Praise God. If you're not in the mood for the word, shake yourself and get in the mood. Are you hearing me? Hallelujah. They just couldn't relate to that level of promise. And see, there are things that God, amen, promises his people. And he's done so all throughout generations. Amen. And he doesn't skip a generation. Amen. But there are some of you sitting in here, amen, who have promises from God. Amen. And maybe you've shared some of those promises with others. And they kind of look at you with a fake eye, you know, like, okay. Amen. Kind of act like, you know, well, they're crazy. And let's just act like that, you know, let's just pacify them. Amen. And just do it. But see, they don't understand that level of promise. They don't understand the commitment, amen, that one can make to God. They didn't understand that even though Mary was a young girl, they didn't understand that God chose her based on her faith, based on her commitment. See, nobody understands your level of commitment. They may see you show up. They may see you put up. And they may see you, amen, serve and do all kinds of things. But nobody but God knows the level of commitment that is in your heart. There had to be something deep in Mary for God to choose her. She never once prayed, God, will you come and conceive a child in me? She never even prayed for Joseph, amen, to be her husband. We understand, amen, that this was something that in these times was prearranged. The movie showed this, how that, amen, in the movie they portrayed Joseph seeing her working on the side of the river, and he was stricken by her, and he felt a love for her, and he went to her father's house, and he said, I want to marry your daughter. He was like, who are you? He said, I have seen her from afar, and I love her, and I want her to be my wife. Amen. And he went to Mary. Amen. Her mother went to her and told her, we have found a husband for you. The look that they showed on Mary's face was probably, amen, the same reaction. She was kind of like, a husband? I'm not even looking for a husband. Are you with me? Hallelujah. So Mary never once asked God, amen, for this promise. And there's some of you, amen, in here tonight that you didn't ask God for what he has laid before you in your destiny. You have not asked God for the things, amen, that he has laid out before you. I never once asked God to be a pastor. Matter of fact, I told him I wouldn't be. I never once asked God, oh God, let me get up on the pulpit and sing. As a matter of fact, I was upset when I had to. Didn't want to. Are you with me? Hallelujah. But there's things that God lays at your destiny. There are some promises. Hallelujah. That God sees you, amen, in a capacity, in a way, amen, that others don't. And they may not understand that level of promise. But I want you to know tonight, be encouraged. Hallelujah. Because if God requires it, God will take care, amen, of you and of the promise. Give the Lord praise right there. Hallelujah. Come on. Amen. So they couldn't understand that level of promise. So it was just easier to accuse. It was easier to, amen, consider her to be, amen, a whore, or for her to have, amen, broken her betrothal to her husband. We know that Joseph could have very easily, amen, by law, let her go. But Joseph said, I will stay with you. Come on, somebody. Do you hear me? But you see, God was doing something that had never been done before, and it's never been done again. And can I tell you that it just might be in your life the same? He might be doing something in you that has never been done before. Maybe in your family, maybe in that generation. Hallelujah. And he may not ever do it again. Hallelujah. But if he promised it, if it came from him, amen. That means they will never die. And it goes on further to say, in Jesus Christ. And Jesus died, rose again, lives, and is seated at the right hand of God. He'll never die again. So that means every promise that God breathed out, whether it was written or whether it was spoken over your life, will never die. Hallelujah. You with me tonight? Stay with me. I'm just laying the foundation. See, others won't relate to it. And guess what? They're not supposed to. Why do we get so upset when people don't understand what God's doing in our life? Right? We do. But they're not supposed to understand.
Amen.
It's not their promise. It's your promise. Are you hearing me? She couldn't even understand it. Matter of fact, she said to the angel, well, how can that be?
Right.
I've never known a man. I've never been with a man. How can that be? Think about it. By this time, she had her future planned out. Right? She was betrothed to Joseph and was planning a wedding. They're set aside for a year so that they can plan their wedding. Amen. I can see. Amen. Maybe her friends. Amen. Saying, oh, or maybe her cousin saying, oh, you know, Mary, I need to be the maid of honor. I'm closer to you than anybody else. Right? You know. Amen. By the time you're done, you got to have 10 girls singing with you because you got done hurt somebody's feelings because that one thought they was your best friend and this one thought they was your best friend and this one thought they were your BFF. So you just got to have them all say, come on, somebody help me. Hallelujah. You got juniors and amen, praise God, seniors, all of this stuff, but I can just see, there she is planning out her future. She had just come to grips, amen, amen, that she was going to be married to a man she didn't know, to a man she had never been with, a man she had never kissed, a man that she did not even know anything about his life or his family. Hallelujah, that's how it worked. And so now she's planning out her future, amen, in her mind. Hallelujah. Praise God. And then all of a sudden, an angel shows up. Here she is. She thinks she's got it all figured out. Anybody ever been there? You got everything planned. You think you got it figured out. And then all of a sudden, boom. God shows up and says, that's not quite the way it needs to be. And then that angel showed up and changed her whole perspective. Imagine being told that. Imagine being told that you're going to conceive and that you're going to carry. Amen. You can read in chapter 2. Amen. And it says that she pondered all these things. She kept it, amen, in her heart and pondered all these things. My Lord, I would be able to sleep. Why me? And I don't believe she, even though he told her in detail, amen, that, praise God, that he would be born in the city of David, and amen, all of these things would happen, and he would be, amen, who he would be, and he would rule, and he would reign. I still don't think she comprehended the magnitude of what was inside of her. And see, that's us. We think we have it figured out, how God's going to do it, what he's going to do. He's promised he's going to bring your children in, and you think you got it figured out, amen, and you think you, amen, see it, and all of a sudden it seems they get further and further and further away, and they go deeper and deeper and deeper, amen, into darkness instead of coming into the light. Hallelujah, praise God, and you think you got it figured out, amen. She didn't understand it, but here's the one thing she did know. Amen. It came from God. She didn't understand it, but she knew that it was God that spoke it. See, that's going to be the difference. Amen. In your stance, that's going to be the difference in us. We may not understand what God is doing. We may not understand how it's working out, but we can know that it's from God because she said, be it unto me according to thy word. Let's look at that scripture in the complete Jewish Bible. Miriam said, I am the servant of Adonai. May it happen to me as you have said. When's the last time you said that to God? Mm-hmm. may it happen to me as you said, God. Oh, that opens up a great big spectrum in the pressing, in the shaking, in the squeezing, right? In the season of seasons. Are you with me? Amen. Praise God. She said, be it unto me according to your word. See, we can receive in our spirit what our mind cannot process. I'm going to say that again. We can receive in our spirit even though our mind cannot process it. We can preach a word, or we can declare a word that God has spoken, and your mind can't comprehend it, but your spirit can receive it. And that's the key. The Apostle Paul even said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23, he said, I would that you would be sanctified wholly, spirit, soul, and body. Not body, soul, and spirit. But spirit, soul, and body. See, when the word comes into our spirit, it begins to penetrate our soul, which is our mind, will, and emotion. There's a lot of people that got word, the word in their mind, but it ain't in their spirit.
Come on.
They got head knowledge, but they have no evidence of living it out, no fruit, because they are not yielded in the spirit. Are you with me? So when a word comes into our spirit, that begins to penetrate our soul, and that in turn affects the body. The body is the last thing to be affected. That's why when you are in turmoil, when you are in depression or anxiety or stress, amen, your mind is in chaos, then all of a sudden the last thing that's going to feel that is your body. And you're going to begin to amen, exhibit symptoms of sickness because it's brought on by what's in your mind or your soul. Are you with me? That's why demon spirits can cause sickness. And when those demons leave, sickness will go with it.
Amen.
Not every time you're sick. Don't walk out here and say, Pastor Jeff, I'm sick, I got a demon. You know how that goes. That goes for you online. So, it affects the whole body. See, we don't have to figure out how God will do it. But we have to simply say, be it unto me. Let it happen to me as you have spoken. We have to just say yes. And some of you have said yes. That's why you're in the turmoil that you're in. Because you have said yes. You have said, be it unto me. See, she carried the promise not really knowing what to expect. I got to thinking about that. She even though she had that word and the angel told her what Jesus would be and what would be manifested, amen, and what his life would be, she still, I don't think she really knew what to expect. But after she birthed the promise, confirmation came. Angels showed up again, singing, praising, rejoicing. Shepherds showed up and said, we've come to see the one who was born King of Israel. The angels told us that we would find him wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. Confirmation showed up. Then 8 days later, they go into the temple to dedicate him, to have him circumcised. When they walk in, there's a man named Simeon that said, ah, that's what I've been living for. I see him. He is the Messiah. He is the Messiah. I have lived for this moment. And then there was another elderly woman who was a prophetess by the name of Anna. And Anna said, "Surely my eyes have seen him." Oh, come on, somebody. Hallelujah. Confirmation after confirmation. Are you with me? Hallelujah. Then, amen, 2 years pass. She nurses him, a baby, amen. You know, it'd been nice if Jesus would come out and said, "Hello, I am the Son of God." I mean, he was supernaturally conceived. Why wouldn't he supernaturally be able to speak to, "Hello, mother," right? And maybe she was expecting that. I don't know. Who knows? I probably would expect like something like a glow or some kind of like, "Oh, what's so special about this baby when you put him up to other babies? He looked like just, amen, every other Jewish baby." Are you with me?
Mm-hmm.
And then 2 years pass. She's weaned him, nursed him, and he's now a toddler. Probably as he's learned to walk, he tripped and fell like every other child, I guess. Maybe the Holy Ghost. Maybe she woke up one night and he was just walking. I don't know. I doubt it. But then he's about 2 years old and there comes a knock at the door. And there's three wise men from the east. And they said, "We have followed the star. And it led us right here." And the star, so I know everybody thinks the wise men showed up in the manger, but they didn't. It took them 2 years to travel. Jesus was 2 years old by the time they got there. And they said, "We have brought him and we've come to worship." And when she brought Jesus, this two-year-old toddler, amen, out, they bowed down and they began to worship him. And they brought him gold and frankincense and myrrh. Yet another confirmation. Maybe she had thought, "Well, I've been expecting something, but nothing's happened. He's just like his cousin John, amen, just like any other ordinary." But then these three wise men said, "We've been traveling from afar and the star stopped right over top and we've come." So yes, another confirmation. Have you ever been there when you thought, amen, praise God, that just maybe you missed it, that just maybe, amen, because time lapsed, that, amen, it wasn't from God, but then God gives you confirmation. God shows up and says, "Yes, when I said it, I meant it." Argue with me. Hallelujah. Then, praise God, as we read, if you will read in Luke, amen, chapter 2, praise God, now, amen, after these confirmation, amen, God, listen, I believe God had the confirmations planned before she ever knew of the promise, before she ever knew that she was chosen to carry that promise. I believe God already had the confirmations planned. Amen. Can I tell you that, amen, when the enemy resists, amen, when you get resistance from every direction that you turn, when it seems like no matter what, amen, direction you go, you're getting resistance, and it's looking like, amen, that it's never going to happen. Can I tell you, amen, that is a confirmation. That's confirmation that God, amen, is doing something, because the enemy does not want, amen, you, praise God, to walk in the fulfillment of the promises of God. And so the Bible tells us, amen, that when Jesus was 2 years old, amen, then it skips and goes from the time that he's 2 years old and says as time passed to where he's now 12. So 10 years has passed, amen, in the life of Jesus. 10 years, hallelujah, amen. And there's not been any more angels. There's not been any more shepherds. There's not been any more wise men. Anna and Simeon have died. They were old and stricken in age, and they have died. Amen. She was only trusting that God knew what he's doing. I believe, never thought of it like this before, but I believe that she, amen, was expecting something different about this boy. Amen. But instead, hallelujah, 10 years, amen, had passed. How many knows the Bible says hope deferred? deferred makes a heart sick. Proverbs says when hope is deferred, it makes a heart sick. I can believe, and I believe that based on the language even that we read to you in the scripture that Luke wrote, hallelujah, that she probably, amen, had lost sight that Jesus was going to be anything extraordinary. She kept waiting for, amen, him. 10 years is a long time. Hallelujah. But he was a normal child as far as we know. Amen. As far as we know, he was just like any other child. No real evidence that he was different. Amen. You would find him like every other young boy with the rabbis teaching him. Hallelujah. Him taking notes of what the rabbis, amen, was teaching him. Praise God. But here's the thing. They were teaching him the word that he already was. Hallelujah. He was already everything they were teaching him. Hallelujah. But you would find him seated with the teachers and the rabbis. Amen. Just like every other young boy. Hallelujah. But when it was the age of accountability, the age of 12, amen. You've heard of the bar mitzvah. Amen. It's 13 now, but that's the age when they say that, amen, a Jewish boy now becomes a man. By that time, he should be adept in the law. He should be adept in the Torah. He should understand the culture and the traditions. And now he's ready, amen, to show evidence, amen, even with a little facial hair, amen, that he is now becoming a man. Now he not only knows that Torah, but he is now accountable to live it. Come on, somebody, do you hear me? It's that coming out. And so Jesus was at that age of accountability. Hallelujah. Amen. Remember, from the age of 2 to 12. Amen. He was just like any other boy. Amen. But now they are in Jerusalem. Brother Matt, for the Passover. Amen. And Joseph and Mary. Amen. They are in Jerusalem at the Passover. And the Bible says they faithfully did this year after year. That's important for you to understand. That year after year they showed up and they did everything that they were supposed to. But now he's 12 years old. Amen. And this time he stayed back. Hallelujah. And stayed behind as they left the city. Amen. But the Bible tells us, and we know according to the scripture, that they didn't know that Jesus stayed in Jerusalem. The Bible tells us that they traveled, hallelujah, for a whole day. Amen. Praise God. But they did not even know that he wasn't there. So even though, amen, they remained faithful, they lost the promise. Even though they remained faithful to everything they were supposed to do, they lost the promise. I don't know who I'm talking to tonight or who I'll be talking to later. But you see, in the middle of everything as usual, they lost it. In the middle of the mundane, Passover is finished. Now we pack up and we go back home and we start going through the motions. Doing it, everything faithfully like we do every year. But they lost the promise right in the middle of the usual. They lost it. Who am I talking to tonight? That in the process of being faithful and being committed and showing up and following through the mundane and the usual, everything's become common. And somewhere in there, you've lost the promise. Somewhere in there, you've lost the promise. You've lost the hope in your promise. Hope deferred makes a heart sick. And you find yourself struggling, questioning, doubting, comparing, looking at others, surveying the circumstances, checking off everything on the righteous checklist. You've done it all, and you've done it well. And you've been committed, and you've been faithful, just like Joseph and Mary, but specifically Mary. But somewhere, it all just became common. Because the hope of your promise got lost. To where some days you had to force yourself to show up, to put up, to be up. Some days you had to force yourself just to be upright. And to act like everything is okay. And in the midst of all of it, all of this just became common. You lost the hope in the supernatural and in the power of God. I know I'm talking to tonight, but I know He's speaking to at least one. I believe He always speaks to at least one. Mary, 12 years waiting for Jesus to be different, to show some kind of, because she, you know, she shared all of these things. So now the possibility of that promise coming to pass seems less and less. Anybody know what I'm talking about? The possibility of God doing it just seems less and less. You've been waiting 10 years, if I can say it like that, but no sign of the promise. Just like everybody else, no sign of the promise. When the promise is still there, but it becomes common because you don't see it. It becomes common. It becomes average. Nothing special because you don't see it. They lost Jesus for a day without even noticing. Imagine taking your child with you. Now, I know some people in here who've left their kids. Right, Pastos? They've left their kids and grandkids and had to be called and asked, are they in the back seat? What? Huh? Oh, no. No, I know they're not, because they're staying right here with me. Don't worry, I'll get them where they need to go. You just do your thing. Just get right on. But imagine going to the store, buying your child something, and then getting in the car and leaving them in the store, getting in the car and driving home. Go home, kiss your wife, your husband, sit down and eat dinner. Not realize they're not there. Go to their bedroom. They're not there. Don't even realize. You go to bed, and then you get up the next morning, and you go looking for Billy Bob, and you're like, where is he? Now, that's hard to imagine, right? They travel for a whole day and forgot. Now, I can imagine there might be some that might be a little easier to leave. But they traveled a whole day without even noticing. That says that there was nothing special about him. He didn't stand out among everyone else. Are you with me? I'm trying to make a point. He had become so common that they didn't notice he was not with them. They didn't even notice that he wasn't with them. Now, verse 44, if you want to pull that back up, verse 44 says, but they, supposing him to be in the company, that word supposing is translated here, and it means the custom or as usual. So it was customary for Jesus to not be with his family, because the family was in the front as they traveled. So they weren't in the car. They weren't, you know, they weren't riding in luxury. They were journeying back, and they all would go together. So we know that it was custom, or it was the usual thing for Jesus to travel with the caravan. So he didn't travel with the family. So maybe she thought he would be more than the average 12-year-old by that time. Maybe she thought, because of the promise that was upon his life and the destiny that was laid out for him, that he would be above average, that he would be excel, and that he would be more, especially because he was 12. And that was the age of accountability, right? So they started looking for him among family. But he wasn't there. Then they started looking for him among the friends. Have you seen Yeshua? You happen to see our boy? Did you happen to see our son? No, we haven't seen him. And so the Bible says, what did they do? What was there to do? They went back to Jerusalem. And they looked for him there 3 days. 3 days they looked for Jesus in Jerusalem. See, when you can't find your promise, you got to go back to the last place you remember seeing. So they come to the conclusion, if none of the family had seen him in that day's time, and none of the friends in that day's time, then the last time they saw him was back in Jerusalem. So see, when you've lost hope and you can't find your promise, you got to go back to where you lost it. You got to go back to where you remember seeing it. See, go back to maybe where you fell down, or where you lost hope, or maybe where you messed up, and just pick it back up. See, you sometimes you gotta go back. See, when was it that you resolved in your mind that it wasn't going to happen, or that God couldn't do it? That's what you need to go back to. That's what you need to go back to, that place where you just lost hope and thought, you know what? Nothing's ever going to change. It's never going to happen. That's where you got to go back to. That's all they needed to do, was to go back to where they remembered seeing him. And then verse 47 says, when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem seeking him. So they went back to Jerusalem to see him. And verse 46 says, they found him. Verse 46. Oh. They found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. So he was listening to the teachers and asking them questions. And the Bible says, go next verse, please. And all that heard him was astonished at his understanding and his answers. They were astonished at his understanding and the answers that he was giving. Isn't it interesting that we can lose hope of our promise, but others can be astonished at what God says he's going to do in our life? Isn't it interesting that he became so common that they lost Mary, lost that hope or that vision of him? And then verse 48, that when they saw him, they were amazed. Who is that kid? He's never talked like that around the dinner table. He's never had those. How does he know all that? That's not your average 12-year-old.
Right.
Are you hearing me? Mm-hmm. They were amazed. But Mary said to him, "Son, why did you do that to us? I went on vacation with some friends once years ago. It was in the 80s, and their little boy was 3 or 4 years old. And we were in this t-shirt shop, a man in Tennessee, and we were all looking. All of a sudden, he disappears. And of course, his mom and dad are frantic, amen? And they are yelling for him. We're going all around the store and asking, and he was a blue-eyed, blonde little boy. So you know. And his mom, we were screaming, we were all yelling his name and screaming for him, looking outside. I'm talking about probably 5 minutes at least had passed, and his mom was shaking and crying, and then all of a sudden he peeks out from under a t-shirt rack. All that time, he had been hiding right there, and he had his big son on his face. His dad snatched him up, took him out to the bed, and whooped the fire. But his mom was like, "Why would you do that to us? You heard us screaming your name. Why didn't you answer us?" And Mary said back to Jesus. She said, "Son, why would you do that to us? We have been worried sick." But I want you to notice her wording here. This is one of the reasons why I think Jesus became common and who he was. Became common, and maybe she had stopped looking. And she's like, "Why did you make us worry, Jesus?" But she said, "Your father and I have been looking for you, and we were worried." When you look in the scriptures, any time that Jesus is called or referred to as Joseph's son, it's when someone has unbelief in his divinity. Anytime he's referred to as Joseph's son, or that's the son of Joseph, or that's supposed to be Joseph's son, or they would say Joseph and his mother, anytime Jesus was referred to in that way, it was when unbelief of his divinity was there. So I wonder, did Mary accept a false narrative because she called Joseph his father? I want you to stay with me. You say, "I don't know so much about that." But look at verse 49. What was Jesus' response? He said unto them, "Why were you looking for me? Don't you remember who I am?" But he said, "Wist ye not that, don't you know," that's fancy, "don't you know that I must be about my father's business?" So he refuted the fact, it wasn't disrespect, but he was reminding her of the promise that was over his life.
Come on.
When she said, "Your father and I were looking for me," he's like, "Hold up. I have to be about my father's business. I know you may have lost hope and you may have forgotten, the promise and the anointing that is over my life because of that promise. But this is why I was sent here. This is why I came. This is why you were chosen to carry me and why you birthed me. Now, this is my time. I'm now at that age of accountability, right? Are you with me? Amen? This is why I was sent. Amen? Be reminded tonight. I've come to remind somebody that your promise isn't lost. Amen. That your promise is not lost. It's still active in the Spirit. You may not see it. You may not feel it. It all may have become common to you because you have not seen any signs. It's been 10 years since you even had a confirmation. Nothing to remind you or to confirm that, yes, I'm going to do this. Nothing as a sign to say, yeah, it was worth the sacrifice. It was worth, even though you've been faithful, that promise is still active in the Spirit. It hasn't died. It's not lost. You just lost hope in its fulfillment. And it happens. You say, well, I have so many times in trying to encourage people and trying to counsel them, they will say, well, you don't know how bad I messed up. Can I tell you that it doesn't matter that you messed up? I don't say that flippantly, like, it's okay, just do what you want. If you mess up, you mess up. It's good. Just live life. But I'm saying that it doesn't matter that you mess up because God considered that before he ever chose you to carry that promise. God considered the fact that you would mess up. He considered the fact that you would fall, that you would fail, that you would doubt, that you would become anxious, that you would be fearful. That his power and the supernatural would become common, so much so that you would lose sight of the promise. You don't think he knew that Abraham was going to mess up with Abimelech? That he was going to mess up with Hagar? You don't think he knew that David was going to mess up with Bathsheba? You don't think he knew that David was going to kill Uriah to try to cover his sin? You say, well, I would never do that to cover my sin. How many times have we done stuff, stupid stuff, to cover our sin? To cover our mess up and our failures and our mistakes. Plenty of times. Maybe I'm in that category by myself. But see, when Mary said, so be it unto me, pull verse 38, Luke 1:38 back up in the complete Jewish Bible. When Mary said, may it happen to me as you have said, be it unto me. It means she was invested. She was invested despite her flaws. And when you say that unto the Lord, be it unto me, so be it unto me, that you're invested in what the Lord is saying, despite your mess ups, and despite your flaws, and despite your failures. So come tonight to tell somebody that God doesn't give up on you, so don't give up on the promise. That when you give God your yes, I've thought about that so many times in this season of seasons that I've been in. I told you before, I'm ready to say so long to this calendar year. Look, honestly, you know, 2020 was crazy, but it ain't got nothing on 2024.
Come on. Come on.
Believe God, hallelujah. Amen. And see it. I thought so much in the last several months about my yes God. And when I found myself wanting to say, it's enough, I think I'm done. Not walking away from him, but just done with what is. I had no desire to walk away from God. I had no desire to give up on him. I've come too far. He's been so good to me. I've seen so many things. I'm not saying that I can't fail, but I'm just telling you that that's just not an option for me. This never is. It never comes to my mind, well, I'm just going to quit serving the Lord. It's been decades since I thought that. I don't say that boasting. I'm just telling you that you can get to that place. But when all the times I've found myself saying, you know what? Sayonara. That's enough. I'm good. I've fulfilled it. I always think about my yes to God. When I said yes, after saying no so many times, when I said, okay, God, whatever you have, I'm there. See, it's easy to do that when you're in the moment and the Holy Ghost is hovering over you, right? Imagine the feeling Mary had when the Holy Spirit hovered over her and she conceived. My mind can't comprehend that. No wonder people couldn't comprehend that it was true. But when the Holy Spirit is over you and he's brooding and you're feeling that, like, oh yeah, ooh, yeah, I feel that. Yes, it's what happened. God's going to save my husband. God's going to save my wife. God's going to bring my children back. Yes, God's going to turn it around. God's going to do this. God's going to make this come to pass. This vision, the dream is going to happen when you're in the moment. But then you begin to lose hope because you don't see it happen. And there's no more confirmation. And years pass. And then it just becomes common. And before you know it, you've lost hope in the promise. You've lost that hope. But when you say, so be it unto me, you invest in what God is saying. And that's what God wants us to realize as we're heading out of this calendar year. As we're moving out. Here's the thing, just because the number changes doesn't mean the season will. So don't get all fuzzy and warm and thinking, oh, I'm not saying it ain't either. I'm just saying don't let yourself become delusional and think that suddenly. But as we're exiting this new year on our calendar. We're already in God's new year. But as we're exiting this year on our calendar, God wants us to be reminded of our yes. And I don't know who I'm talking to tonight. Your commitment to stay, your commitment to remain, your commitment to hold on to hope, your commitment to say, God, I won't walk away from it. I gave you my yes, so be it unto me. But even though I don't feel it or see it, I trust you. As they come to the music, nobody could relate to Mary. Nobody could relate to how she felt. Nobody could relate to the mind battle. She would show up at the park with the playground with little Yeshua, right? 4, 5, 6, 7. I want to show the thought. Are you ever thinking of that? Did he sass? When she showed up and she looked at all the other 6, 7, 8-year-olds and she looked at him, there wasn't a whole lot of difference. Nothing really stood out about him. So he just became like every other boy, to where when they saw him in the element and God began to fulfill, they were amazed at his understanding and his answers. They were amazed at what was coming out of him. And the Bible says that from that point on, he grew. He began to be not your average 12-year-old. Now the signs and the witness of the promise was upon his life. And he was just not your average teenage boy. Wouldn't you love that? You that have teenagers. Oh, hallelujah. Wake up and they're just all of a sudden righteous. Glory to God. Especially if you've got girls. Teenage girls are a mess. There ought to be a Bible just for raising teenage girls. At least a chapter. I say it needs to be in Revelation. Right there with tribulation. Everybody's going, all right. There were a few moments. She was a good kid. Lord Jesus, there were a few moments. But I don't know who I'm talking to. She's staying with me tonight. So be it unto me. Mary didn't understand what God was saying, but she knew it was God. She didn't quite comprehend the capacity of the gravity of what was happening inside her womb, but she knew it was God who spoke to her. And that's the key tonight. Is knowing and believing that it's God that has given you your promise. God confirmed it, let her know, reminded her. They had to flee and go to Egypt and hide. Sometimes you got to protect your promise. Preach on that another time. Because Herod wanted to kill the promise. Been there, done that. When the enemy sought to kill it. But you see, if it's from God, he can't kill it. So I don't know who I'm talking to tonight who's lost your promise. You've lost hope in your promise. But God has sent me here tonight on this Thursday night to remind you of your yes. To remind you of your so be it unto me. And say, begin to worship. I believe there's some folks here tonight who are weary in the waiting. And the promise has become common to where maybe you don't even realize that your hope is lost. Doesn't mean that you're you've sinned or you're not right with God, it just means you got to go back to where you lost it. Go back to where the hope fell by the wayside. Maybe you fell and got back up, but you left the hope down there. Go back to the last time you remember saying, yes, God, I know you're going to do it. And you had hope even though you couldn't see it. So if that's you tonight, you want us to pray with you, I want you.